Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Question for you. Have you ever clicked, I agree, to 47 pages of legalese that you actually didn't read? Anybody? Come on, confession's good for the soul. Right? If your hand's not up, then you're a special kind of person. Right? But why is that stuff there anyway? It's there because somewhere along the way, someone lied. Because someone didn't keep their word. Because someone didn't follow through. And the organizations and companies or whatever decided they needed to protect themselves from us. Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel good? Now, next time you click that, you won't be able to not think about that. We live in a world where words don't always carry the weight that they actually should. And that's created an environment where we feel like we need layers, and then we look for loopholes, and then there's all this legalese around. And I think for me, it comes down to a question that you and I need to wrestle with today. Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? As I thought about that, I wondered what kind of people can be trusted. There's actually some research and studies been done. And look at this, okay? 69% of the people on the planet that were surveyed anyway think doctors can be trusted. Only 8% of them think, no, they can't. Now, the numbers in between that don't add up to 100, that's people that were maybe neutral about it. Teachers, any teachers in the room? Okay, you're quietly lifting your hand. Come on, any teachers in the room? Cheer. Hey, yay, teachers. No? Okay. Yeah. Well, teachers do pretty well. 60% of people think teachers can be trusted. 9% think that they can't. The police. Do we trust the police, guys? No. Sorry, Josh. Our sound guy is a police person. 56% of the people think police can be trusted, and only 15% think, nah, I'm not going to trust the police. Now, that's the top end. Look at the bottom end. Clergy. Clergy is a fancy word for pastors, right? 23% of the people think that pastors can be trusted. 42% think that we can't. So I am starting in a hole, in a deep, deep hole already. And unfortunately, over history and time, the highlights, the news stories about the pastors that couldn't be trusted have certainly outpaced the reality of all those that can be. Anyway, I'm not going to be defensive. Notice that it's only 1% better than lawyers for pastors. 22% of people think that lawyers can be trusted, 38% don't. Journalists, 17% of people think that journalists can be trusted, 41% don't think they can be trusted. So that begs the question, why do we listen to them? Why are we letting them influence us if we really don't believe they can be trusted? It's crazy. And then, of course, there's the lovely politicians. And I actually thought this number was a little bit high. That 10% of the people think politicians can be trusted. By the way, politicians in the room, I love you guys. You're amazing. Thank you for the hard work that you do, sincerely. And 64% of the people think that they can't be trusted because people lie. People exaggerate. People overpromise and underdeliver. And into that space, Jesus drops a massive truth bomb. Now, we're in the series that says that's entitled, Jesus Said What, right? And in every one of the situations that we're covering, Jesus ups the game. We started with murder. He said, you've heard you shouldn't murder. It's bad to kill people. But hey, I want to talk about anger. And then he said, you've heard that you shouldn't commit adultery. That's bad. But I want to talk about guarding your heart. And then, hey, you've heard about divorce and the only requirements for divorce and everything. But hey, I want to talk to you about pursuing faithfulness. Jesus ups the game. Today, he addresses something that actually on the surface might feel a whole lot smaller than those big ones. Our words. He talks about our words. And if you missed any of those first messages, you can go to our YouTube channel, go to our website, go to the app. Just Google Catalyst Sermons or whatever and you'll find it. And you can get caught up. And even better than that, for all the angry people in your life and people that are lusting and all of that, you can send it to them so you can straighten them out. But maybe you need to hear it again too. Jesus, speaking into this, says this. Just say a simple yes or no. Anything more is from the evil one. Now, this isn't just about swearing oaths or taking an oath. This is much deeper than that. This is fundamentally talking about the kind of person that you are and that I am. This goes way deeper. This is the, can you be trusted? Are you a trustworthy person? Let's look at the context where Jesus said this. He says, you have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. See, in Jesus' day, oaths were a normal part of Jewish life. And they were taken pretty seriously. The law taught that if you make a vow, if you take an oath, you need to follow through. It's breaking God's law if you say you're going to do something and you actually don't do it. But the religious leaders found loopholes. Maybe that's why clergy can't be trusted. I don't know. They found ways to swear without it really counting. Like, instead of saying, I swear to God, where you're putting God on the hook, they'd say, I swear by heaven, okay? Or instead of saying, I swear by the altar, they would say, I swear by the temple, okay? Just a little bit of difference, a little nuance there. And they would say, I swear by my own head. As if that's going to make it spiritual, but it's still safe because they're not bringing God into it. Okay, that's the point. That's the loophole they're looking for. But Jesus says, no, don't even go there. Does it sound familiar? Like when someone says, I promise, I swear on my grandmother's grave. Ever heard anybody say something like that? Or they'll say something like, I'm telling you the truth, for real this time, right? You know, when somebody starts a story with, say, hey, I got to tell you something, this is the truth. I actually respond with, so everything else you've ever told me is not the truth, right? Because if you have to qualify that, then isn't that what it means? You know, they have no confidence in the truth there. Jesus says, cut the games, because if you're trustworthy, you don't need any disclaimers or qualifications. Your life will be the proof. So that's the context. And Jesus says, you have also heard, you must not break your vows. Any pretenders in the room? Of course, you're going to raise your hands, right? Actors, anything. You know, so sometimes people can pretend that maybe you're more spiritual or more dependable or even just more excited than you really are. Like you get that present, right? And you go, wow! And then when the person goes away, you think, what in the world were they thinking, right? Or maybe we say yes when we mean maybe. Or maybe we post hashtag blessed when we're really burnt out, it's easy to live life in performance mode, but Jesus calls us back to integrity mode. That's what Jesus' point here is. Why? Why does he want that for you and I? Because there's a problem in pretending. Actually, there's several problems in pretending. Jesus is calling out the culture of conditional integrity, just trying to look good or sound spiritual. He's calling out the times that we try to fake it, like we really know something or going to do something that we're actually not. Because we as people have a tendency to maybe exaggerate, maybe to flatter, maybe to tell people what we think they want to hear, right? Because we actually want people to think well of us, because we want people to like us. And if you're like me, maybe you've got a chronic problem of wanting to please people. You just want the people around you to be happy. See, the problem with all of that is our words often aren't about truth, but they're about image. There's a guy in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, called Ananias, and his wife was named Sapphira. And they had a piece of property, and they sold it, and then they were going to give the money to the church, and here's what it says. It says, he brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Now, for the context here, that's in Acts chapter 5. If we go back to chapter 4, we see the early church was thriving, and the people were a loving community that were taking care of each other. They really were looking out for each other. The people didn't have needs because they came together to meet each other's needs. And as they were doing that, this one guy called Barnabas, his name was actually Joseph, but they nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Well, Barnabas sold some property, and he gave all the money to the apostles for the work of the ministry there. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people looking at that and thinking, wow, he sure is generous. That's great. And patting him on the back, giving him applause. And Ananias and Sapphira would have been looking at this and saying, oh, okay. Well, I want people to think good of me too. So if it's good enough for Barnabas, it's good enough for us. Let's do the same thing, sort of. So they sold some property, and then they only brought part of the money. It's a tragic story. If you read Acts chapter 5, you'll see that actually they both died because they lied to the Holy Spirit. You have to read that for yourself to get the whole context. But their story is a warning that people might praise us for those kinds of things that we do when we manipulate things and make it look different, but that's not going to bring peace with God. You know, and it's in the simple things. It's not in always the big things. Like, have you ever told somebody you'll pray for them and then you don't? Probably guilty, because I tell a lot of people I'll pray for them. And when I tell them that, I try to pray for them right then, because I know that it's going to be hard. Or have you ever told somebody you would be there and then you weren't there? And it wasn't because you had a car accident, or it wasn't because you died. You just didn't follow through. Or have you ever told someone, let me think about it, when you know good and well the answer's no? It ain't happening. I've already thought about it, and I'm just telling you I'll think about it because I want to be polite, because I want to get out of this conversation and move on, right? Anybody? So, okay, I got a few nods. It's going awful quiet in here. It's crazy, isn't it? Oh, why do we do that? Why do we exaggerate, embellish, or overpromise things? Several reasons, I believe. One is it's a cover-up for our insecurity. Because we want to appear better than we are. We want to seem like we're more committed or more reliable or more spiritual than we actually are. Another reason we do it is, and this is the massive one, is to impress others, because we want people to think well of us, and we want to look better than we actually are. And another reason that we exaggerate, embellish, and make things different than they really are is we're afraid of the consequences of actually telling it like it is. If we tell the truth, the implications of that could be devastating for us. So it's like, oh, no. I'm going to embellish or exaggerate here. Or maybe it's none of that. Maybe you grew up in a home or in a place where honesty wasn't really a value. And you've never developed a pattern in your life of being consistent and following through and all those things that we're talking about this morning. Maybe that's it. Jesus is saying, stop pretending. Let your words reflect the real you, not the you you wish you were. And if there's a difference between those two, if you're not the you that you wish you were, maybe by God's help, do some work on that so then your words can reflect the real you. You see, what we don't want to do is let exaggeration be a substitute for integrity. Because that's what it is. You know, oh, it's just a little white lie. Or I'm just stretching it a little bit. No. You're substituting that for your integrity. But sometimes it's not about pretending. Sometimes it's about rushing. Sometimes it's about speaking too quickly or committing too fast to something without actually thinking it through and then realizing when it's way too late that our words have a lot of weight. And when that happens, being hasty with our words can cause great hurt. Being hasty with our words can cause great hurt. A few examples. There was a guy called Herod. He was a king. And in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, chapter 6, it tells a story about King Herod. King Herod threw himself a birthday party. And he invited all the dignitaries and all his friends and everything. And his daughter, whose name was Herodias, which was also his wife's name, so I don't know if he married her because her name was Herodias and then wanted to keep that all going. But anyway, Herodias, his daughter, came into the party and she did some kind of dance. And all we know about the dance is it was a dance that greatly pleased Herod and everybody else. That's what the scriptures tell us. And after the dance, Herod was so thrilled with what she had done, he said, whatever you want is yours, up to half of my kingdom. So Herodias went to her mom, Herodias, and said, hey, what should I ask for? Now, the mother was planning this kind of all along, and the mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So the daughter went back, told Herod, and then he's trapped now because, you know, he wasn't trying to be evil. He was trying to impress people. He made a promise that made him look powerful, and now it came back to bite him, and he had to follow through, and that's why John the Baptist's head got chopped off, because when it backfired, now, if you think about it, you make a promise that's really stupid. If you say something stupid, you can back it out, right? But Herod's pride wouldn't let him because he made that commitment. You don't break vows. And he would have said that in front of everybody. And his pride said, no, I've got to follow through. The danger of speaking big words without deep thought is often someone else has to pay the price. There's another guy called Jephthah. We read about him in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. He was a judge and a mighty warrior. And Jephthah was leading a battle, about to go to war with a group of people called the Ammonites. Okay? And Jephthah prayed to God. That's a good thing when you're about to go to war. I don't know why people go to war, but anyway, he's going to war. He says, God, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, the first thing that comes through my door, I will sacrifice to you. Sounds a bit random, doesn't it? Well, God gave him victory over the Ammonites. Jephthah went home, and guess what happened? Out the front door comes daughter, dancing and all excited. Daddy's home! And Jephthah had made a vow. And it ended with the death of his daughter. You know what's interesting is that God didn't ask him for that. You know, a better prayer might have been, hey, God, it would be really cool if today your people beat the Ammonites and we won the battle. Could you make that happen for us? But Jephthah, because of his own fear and his own insecurity, obligated himself to something that he shouldn't. His insecurity led him to overpromise. One more example. There's a guy in the New Testament called Peter. If you're a church person, you've heard of Peter, and we love Peter. Peter's a great guy. Well, the night that before Jesus died, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, hey, all of you are going to be embarrassed by me. You're going to walk away from me. You're going to disown me. You're going to act like you don't know me. And Peter said, I'm Peter. That is not happening. Full stop. I don't want to hear another word about it. Basically, that's what Peter said to Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, I got bad news for you. Before this night's done, you're going to do it three times. Before you hear the rooster crow. As the night went on and Jesus is on trial, he's being beaten, he's being spat upon, and everything's culminating now. Three different occasions, someone said to Peter, you're one of his friends. You're one of his followers. Peter said, nope, don't know him. It's not true. I have never known him. I want nothing to do with him. And then the rooster crowed. You know, Peter made a bold statement. His words were strong, a bold declaration. And when the pressure came, he ended up failing. But you know, Peter's failure was not a lack of love. He really and truly believed that he would never deny Jesus. But Peter was overconfident. He didn't realize that given the right situation, anyone could do that. See, the courage for the moment comes from character that is developed in private, not from bold declarations that we make. So what we learn from that is that we don't need to speak from pressure or pride. We need to speak from truth and trust. When we look at all three of those examples, not from pressure, not from pride, but from truth and trust. Jesus says, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. You know, Jesus isn't just giving communication advice here. And by the way, if you're here today and you're visiting and you're not a Jesus person yet, or you're not a church person, if you apply these things to your life, it's actually good stuff. But Jesus isn't just giving good communication advice here. He's actually describing a kingdom culture of integrity. And we need to understand with the simple words that he's saying here, it's a simple yes or no. He's talking about the power of plain speech. He's talking about just plain and simple yes, no, maybe, he might have said. He's not talking about honesty. He's talking about clarity. He's talking about simplicity. And the goal in our speaking and in our words should never be to impress, but to be trustworthy. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Don't use fancy words. Don't try to impress people. Your yes should carry weight and your no should be enough. That's his bottom line. No need for filters, for polish, for disclaimers, or embellishments. You just need to say yes or no. Because if you have to say, to be honest, well, why are you having to say that? Because whoever you're talking to is not trusting you. Because your life hasn't led them to a place where they think that you're going to be honest. See, plain speech Doesn't mean that we don't have to explain something. I was talking to Pastor Charlie after the service this morning, and he said, you know, sometimes that black and white, the yes or no, we need explanation. And he gave me an illustration, and you're going to be shocked by this, okay? But one Sunday last year, I was in the toilets, and there was a bag of stuff on the floor that may or may not have been illegal. And I saw that, and it was right before church was going to start and everything. And I went, and I gave it to Pastor Charlie to take care of, right? And Pastor Charlie said, if somebody says, you can only say yes or no. He said, if someone asked me, has Pastor Stan ever given me drugs? The answer is yes. Yeah. So sometimes our yes and no does need an explanation, okay? But we're not to use our words to manipulate the situation and to try to make it different than it actually was. Oh, no, we've got a police officer back there now. Oh. See, simple speech does a few things for us, the power of plain speech. First of all, it builds trust. People know what they can expect from you when you use simple, plain speech. It also provides clarity in our relationships. People know where they stand with you. They know where you stand with them, and they know what they can expect. It gives us peace. Anybody need peace in their life? Anybody stressed out? Well, sometimes plain speech will remove some stress, because then you don't have to worry about what did I say, and do I need to backpedal, and do I need to change this or that, because I'm now in a different situation. I'm about to get caught for what I said wrong. Creates stress in your life. And then finally, it gives power to your witness. It gives power and credibility to the things that you're saying and doing. It speaks louder than charisma. It's, you know, like the polished salesperson that is so slick and honestly draws you right in, and you buy that car today because the deal is not going to be there tomorrow, and all that kind of stuff. You want to deal with that person, or you do want to deal with a person that just is plain and simple? Yeah, we can do that. Or no, we can't. And no pressure. You want to deal with the person that's just plain and simple. See, simplicity in our speech reflects security in our spirit. It's insecurity that makes us try to look better than we are. But simplicity reflects that we are secure in our spirit and in our standing with God. See, Jesus wasn't afraid to say yes. He wasn't afraid to say no. He wasn't even afraid to say not yet. And neither should we be. Back to his words again. Just say a simple yes or no. Anything more is from the evil one. This is a call to consistent character. He's talking about building our character here. And he emphasizes the evil one. You know, if he just said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, that's strong. But this is really serious, because now he's bringing Satan into the mix. So what Jesus is saying is, guys, this is a spiritual issue. This is spiritual warfare that you're waging here. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says that deception is the devil's native language. So when we are embellishing and exaggerating and telling lies and things, we're actually using the devil's language, and we're moving closer and closer to his camp rather than Christ's likeness. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Integrity. It's how we wage war. Not with noise, but with consistency. We don't have to be flashy with our words. Big words don't impress Jesus. It's a life that is aligned to our words that impresses him. Character means that your life and your words are in alignment. What you say matches how you live. People can count on you, even when it's going to cost you something. You don't shift based on who you're talking to or where you're at. You're the same at work and you're at home. You're the same in church and in the group chat. When you're winning and when you're cornered. See, the call to consistency or a consistent character, consistency builds credibility, not charisma. Just being steady and consistent is not a charismatic thing that's going to attract people to you. But in the end, you want to deal with people. You want to relate to people who are consistent, who are steady, who you know you can trust. So what? How can you and I build a life where your words matter? First step, pause before you promise. Just pause. Take a minute to think about it. Ask yourself, can I really do this? And don't make promises that your calendar or your finances or anything else can't keep. Sometimes it's okay to not make that promise. And then when you do make a promise, under-promise and over-deliver. Anybody like surprises where things are actually better than you expected? Right? Of course we do. That's because the promise was less than what was delivered. If you under-promise, then you can over-deliver. And you want to do that especially with your time, your money, your offers to help people. Then use fewer words, not bigger ones. Truth doesn't need drama. Simplicity is greater than spin every time. And here's a massive one, friends. When you mess up, own it. Because you will mess up. You will make a promise, or you will say, I'll do something and all that. And you will actually mess up no matter how hard you try, because none of us are perfect. But when you do, just say, yeah, I messed up. So sorry. Rather than make excuses, right? Because we want to make excuses because we still want to look good. Oh, I would have followed through, but, you know, just own it. Say, yeah, I messed up. Sorry. Be honest when you're unsure. You ever talk to someone and they know absolutely everything about everything? You ask them a question and they've always got the answer. And they never say, I don't know. Sometimes we don't know. And it's okay to be unsure and say, I'm not sure. I can check into that. I can think about that. But I really don't know. It's so freeing. And then follow through even when it's not convenient. See, trust is built in the boring. Okay? Consistency over time. Let your yes show up first on your to-do list. Follow through, even when it's inconvenient. And then, I tell people this all the time, I want to teach you one two-letter word, no. Say no when you need to. Say no when you need to. Because it's not always yes. Why do we have trouble doing that? Because if you're like me, you're a people pleaser. You want people to be happy. You want people to like you. Don't want to let anyone down. You actually do really care, and you want to do everything that you're asked to do. But did you know you actually can't? There's no way you can do everything. So it's okay to actually say no up front and say, oh, I'd love to, but I just can't. The answer's going to have to be no this time. You know, Jesus never broke a promise. He didn't just teach integrity. He actually exemplified it. When he was on this earth, he had told people, he said, you know, I'm going to die, but then I'm going to rise again. And he followed through. He did it. He tells us that, hey, I will never leave you. I'm going to be with you even to the end of the world. And he is. And he said, if I go, I'm going to come back and get you to take you to my Father's house in heaven. And you know what? He will. We can count on that because his character, his integrity follows through with everything. Maybe you have broken your word in the past. I've got good news for you. We all have. And Jesus doesn't want to shame you with this. He says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Just simply say that. But he's not there to shame you. He's there to change you. and to change me and to help us be people of character and integrity. That's what he wants for you and what he wants for me. He wants a people that are trustworthy, who are anchored in truth. So we need to be people of clear consistency. Our yes needs to be yes, our no needs to be no. We don't need to use disclaimers and say, I'm telling you the truth, or I promise, or I swear. Are there promises that you've made that need to be revisited? Maybe you need to go and look at, oh, I did say I'd do that. Are there yeses that you've given that actually haven't played out that way, that you need to either fix or maybe at least apologize for and own it because you messed up? Integrity isn't about having perfect words. It's about our words and our lives lining up together and matching. Let your words carry the weight that they should, with no need for fine print, no need for disclaimers. Just yes, just no. Just Jesus in you, being expressed through you, living now him through you. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for simple passages. And Lord, when we read that, it's let your yes be yes and your no be no. Lord, that's painfully simple. But it feels impossible. Lord, we all, given the right situation, are prone to not follow through or say things that might be slanted just a little bit. But Lord, help us. Forgive us for the times when what we say leaves a little bit to be desired when it comes to truth and integrity. And Lord, help us to be people of character, to be people who can be counted on, to be people who are trustworthy. Lord, we need your help to make that happen because you know us. You know we're human. You know we're frail. And Lord, we thank you so much in advance for how you are going to empower us to be people that say yes when it's yes, no when it's no. And maybe I don't know when that's the case. Thank you for sending Jesus, who keeps his promises to us. And as we look forward to his return, help us walk in his footsteps when it comes to our character. In Jesus' name.